Messianic Psalms. Many have spoken of them as follows. In Psalm 22, we have Christ the Good Shepherd who died for the sheep. In Psalm 23, he is the Great Shepherd who lives and intercedes for the sheep. While in Psalm 24, he is the Chief Shepherd who is coming for the sheep, according to 1 Peter 5. In the first Psalm, we have the blessed man who walked not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The only one who could fill the qualifications of this blessed man in Psalm 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ. For the law was hid in his heart that he might not sin against God. In Psalm 22, we saw this blessed man dying for sinners, forsaken by both man and God on the cross. There he had to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Psalm 23, the one who trusts the shepherd is promised that goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life, and he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now in Psalm 24, we are asked another question, which can be answered only in Christ. It says, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in the holy place?" And the answer comes, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." The Bible makes it clear that nothing that defileth or is unclean can ever enter through the pearly gates of heaven. The only man who ascended into the hill of the Lord in the Old Testament was Moses. When God came down upon Mount Sinai, he went up into the hill or the mountain where God spake to him face to face, as it were. Yet no man could look upon God's face and live. Finally, God put him in the cleft of the rock, and he saw only God's backward parts. That's all that man ever knew of God in the Old Testament. Now his glory is shining in the face of Jesus Christ, his Son. And we read it has also shined in our hearts, in the hearts of all who know him. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai, they had to set bounds about it, so that neither man nor beast dare touch it lest they die, because God is so holy. God told Moses in Deuteronomy 18 and 15, "The Lord God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, like unto thee, and unto him ye shall hearken." This very scripture is quoted by both Peter in Acts 3 and Stephen in Acts 7. Hebrews 1 and 2 says, "God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things." Christ is the only man who has clean hands and a pure heart. And he is also the only one who can make our hands and our hearts clean before God. I pity all those who die without having been washed in the blood of God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate tried to wash his hands in water, but there was no cleansing that way. It is only the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. And we must give him and his blood all the credit. In heaven, the song to be sung there is unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It was a great day when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, as shown in Psalm 22. And it was a glorious day when he rose and became the high priest and the great shepherd to bring us through the wilderness. But it will be even a more glorious day when he comes as the chief shepherd to take his church home to be with him and to be there forever. But looking at our text, it must have been a great event when Jesus went into heaven as man. We read here in Psalm 24, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Man never acknowledged him as the King of glory while on earth. They rejected him. The King of the Jews, Pilate put this over his cross in three different languages, and they said, write that he said, I am the King of the Jews. But Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Men on earth also rejected Christ as God the Son or the Son of God. But when he went up to heaven, God gave him all of these honors. Peter says he has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels, principalities, and powers being made subject to him. 1 Peter 3:22. Hebrews 1 says, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Verse 8 tells us how he was saluted in heaven by God the Father, who said to his Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. In verse 6, God said, let all the angels of God worship him. This scripture refutes those who say the Bible never calls Christ God. It most certainly does. In Hebrews 2 and 8, God the Father calls his Son God, and he calls for all the angels of God to worship him. In verse 6, thus God believes his Son is worthy of worship, yes, even the worship of angels. How much more, then, should man worship him? Men tried to worship the apostles Peter and Paul, but they refused to be worshipped, and rightly so. Yet there are men today who claim to be holy, and they want men to worship them and to kiss their rings. However, men did worship the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here, and rightly so. The blind man in John 9, when he learned and believed that Jesus was the Son of God, it says he worshipped him. So did the lepers and others. In Luke 21, when he ascended up to heaven, all those standing around him on earth worshipped him. I like to read that account in Luke 24, verses 50 to 52. Here's what it says. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him. They certainly did right to worship him, the Son of God, and so do we. We read in John 4:23 that the Father seeketh worshipers, and they must worship in spirit and in truth. Christians on the whole know less about worship than anything else, although they should have worship in everything they do. In the Old Testament, the Jews had an earthly worship in a house of God. God actually dwelt in that house built by Solomon. While in the New Testament, Christians worship, their worship is not on earth. They have boldness to enter into the holiest in heaven by a new and living way through the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19. There is as much difference between Old Testament worship and New Testament as between light and darkness, day and night. Most professed Christians follow the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in a house. First the tabernacle, then Solomon's temple. However, Stephen said in Acts 7, God does not dwell now in temples made with hands. Yet when many of you go to church, your preacher or someone will pray there and will say, we have come to the house of God to worship. That's the way the Jews in the Old Testament worshiped. Three times a year they had to go up to the house of God or the temple in Jerusalem to worship. And most Christian people today have the same idea, but it is wrong. There is not one church building on earth today that is God's house. God is not dwelling in buildings made with hands. He dwells in each born-again believer. And when a group of born-again believers meet, he dwells in them. Some may want chapter and verse for that. Read Hebrews 3:6. And I quote, Christ has Son over his own house, whose house are we. The Christians are God's house. He dwells in them. Paul said the same in 1 Corinthians 3:16. He wrote the church at Corinth, saying, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? God's temple, where he is dwelling today, is his people. The church meets around a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it does not matter where they meet. That's what we are seeking to do at the chapel here. We're not a denomination, just Christians gathering around the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has promised if we gather in His name, He will be in the midst, and we believe Him. So if you want to know who we are just Christians who gather in Christ's name and gather around Him. We don't join denominations because we have found a better name than that. We believe in His name. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're not taking His name for anyone. If people want two names, that's up to them. We may look queer to you when we try to carry out God's word today, but ask yourselves, how do you look in God's sight when He says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And some of you think more of your denomination or your baptism than you do of Him. Maybe you are the ones who need to wake up and learn New Testament truth. Thank God, Jesus is in heaven, and we can worship Him there in spirit and truth. Yes, wherever we gather. May we all get back to the Bible, is my earnest prayer. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for giving Thy Son. We thank Thee that the Holy Spirit of God in Christ dwells in every heart that has been opened to Him. And we thank Thee that all Christians carry His name. And we pray to give us grace to reject all other names, that He might have the preeminent place, and that we might carry out His truth, which says, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that if we all want to honor Him alone, there'd be a greater unity among Thy people who have been born again. Receive our thanks for Thy word and bless each one, we pray. In His worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And thank you, friends, for listening.